All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back. It's Wheel Wednesday, and we're here with you. And look who made it back from L.A. On his extended journey across the country.
Did you tell them where I was last week?
Last week, yeah, I think we did. We said that Nick kind of continued on to L.A. to go record some stuff.
That was fun.
Right. And we all got to come back here to New York where it's cold.
Where it was cold and raining. I heard it snowed when I was gone.
Nothing memorable, so it can't be that bad.
Well, yeah, the weather in L.A. was terrible.
Right.
It was sunny. It was warm.
All right, so now that we don't care what Nick has to say anymore, we're moving on. But yeah, so we're all back here with you for Wheel Wednesday, and SEMA's passed. We're moving on to new wheel styles. We are trying to pump out a bunch of data for wheels, finish up the wheel development, and kind of get everything going in place so that you can have wheels come hopefully end of February, beginning of March.
We're also working on a bunch of content. There is a gigantic list of stuff. If you guys were following closely to the stuff we post on Instagram, I think we posted a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. We did a lot of live stuff.
But
there's a lot of content to come from that. So,
yeah, I think we have is there anything top secret that we shouldn't be talking about? No, right?
I don't think so.
I think in the next week or so, we're going to be dropping a SEMA vlog, which was a vlog that we tried to do. I don't know that I was super successful in doing it. Nick was kind of yelling at me at every moment to vlog.
You know, actually, I pointed this out in the video, you did really good for Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, I was just like, I wonder if Scott got it. And that was one of the first things. I filmed it when I landed. I was like, I bet you Scott didn't even do anything, because that's when I texted you and like, oh, I asked him if he filmed anything. All his response was LOL. I was like, I guess not.
Right.
But I actually looked back and you have a decent amount of stuff from setting up the booth and when you guys landed, taking the crates out, pulling the cars in. So.
And then everything went because what ends up happening is you get super busy.
Well, you got busy, yeah, but it's okay because it was tagged me in, all right, cool. Took over what we were doing. So
even I'm pretty excited to see how the vlog comes out because we're not really our content to you has not really been a vloggy type format. So to me, it's completely awkward. Right?
I think it's going to be fun.
All right. Well, so we're bringing it to you. I think the part that we're trying to figure out right now on that piece is, do we cut it down or do we leave it kind of
full? Yeah, it's long. It's 5 days?
Right, so we have an hour and a half.
No,
right?
Six. It's six. So if you started Saturday, also continued Sunday, then I started Sunday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
We ended it at the show, I traveled through to the next day, so it would have been seven full days.
You filmed Saturday?
No.
Oh,
what I'm saying, we had ended it at the show,
right?
But we would have had seven full days of.
Well, technically, it is. So you have Saturday all day, Sunday all day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
kind of six,
Thursday and Friday, all day.
So anyhow, we have a lot of footage. The question is, are we going to bring it out to you in long format, or are we going to try to trim it down?
I don't know. Maybe both. Parts? We're working on it.
If you have any thoughts on that.
I'm working on the creative aspect of that. But anyways, so let's jump into today's topic. What are we talking about?
Yeah,
today?
I think we're just going to do a quick kind of rendition of things about wheel finishes. We're entering into the winter season. So for a lot of the country, whether it be, the north – Midwest of the country, in some of that Midwest section of the country, and especially the Northeast where we are, there's that thing that's happening where winter and a lot of so some states are requiring you that you have to, it's the law, you have to put snow tires in the car. Right?
Really?
Yeah,
is that a thing in New York also?
It's not a thing in New York.
No.
I mean, do I think people do it? Yeah, but I mean, probably. Well, yeah,
people definitely do it. I don't think it's a law though.
No, but I know. I think I'm pretty sure New Hampshire, Connecticut, I think Maine, a lot of the really northeast states, they have to change to winter wheels and winter tires.
Interesting.
So because of that, I mean, these people may not have the problem as much because they're going to be buying wheels that they probably use more dedicated for snow wheels, right?
Whereas there's been years where I've been stuck in one of my past Miatas with summer tires on and stretched to all hell trying to. Yeah. Anyways,
everybody's made that bad decision, but
we've all been there.
So really, what you know, I don't want to get too much into winter wheels. We you know maybe we'll do another podcast on that later, but. What we should talk about, and we haven't really touched on it too much, is wheel finishes and which wheel finish you should pick for your car. And so we do get a lot of questions about wheel finishes, especially when it comes down to wheel care, and we're working on some content for that. For now, we have some frequently asked questions on our website, and it's a pretty basic answer. The answer is just, you know, clean them often with a non-acidic car wash, you know, like paint-safe soap. Right.
So
and water, just clean them frequently.
So getting into the whole winter topic that you just mentioned.
Yeah. I don't want to get into that too much because I think we'll do a separate topic.
Well,
but.
I just mean like right now, and when I got back, I was pissed because I hate driving the Miata when it's raining or snow or anything, especially in the winter time because like all the dirt and debris comes up, but also the salt.
Yep.
I came back. And there was salt literally just piled up, like, in the sides or whatever. I was like, it didn't even snow like that.
Well, I think when they're expecting ice, you know, they obviously prepped the roads.
They went so hard with the snow, with the salt. I was like, this is disgusting. I didn't even want to drive the car. I was like, I just want to leave it there. I don't want to touch it.
But, you know, I mean, the one thing, and like I said, I think we'll circle back and we'll end up doing a podcast that's really primarily about maybe wheel care and winter wheels and that whole thing. But, but there is something to choosing a finish. You know, when you go to buy a wheel, considering where you live and the kind of environments that you'll use your wheels in is a big thing. I just wrapped a podcast. At SEMA, we did a podcast with the Rag Company. And if you're not familiar with the Rag Company, go over and check out their channel.
I'm going to link the thing below.
See, you did it, link not it me.
So, no, I didn't do one of these things that you like
right
to do.
There.
Yeah, but I'm not going to put anything in there. I just
– He's going to put it in
there. I'm not going to put it in there. Just go below.
but the Rag Company, they're a company that they're primarily they're all detailers, very talented detailers, very, very knowledgeable. And they have a company where they produce different microfiber and different cleaning towels, and they also distribute detailing supplies and different things. They have way more – I mean, they're way more into the content game than we are, and they do a great job. So if you have some time and you're interested in any wheel – well, any cleaning tips for your car, detailing tips, head over to them. They have so much information that you're literally going to go – like out of your mind, and then you're going to end up buying a lot of money. You're going to spend a lot of money in wheel cleaning
you're going to cave like Scott does every time he watches one of their 100%. Videos, and you're going
to
be like, "Damn, like I've been cleaning my car the wrong way."
I think that there's when you start watching their content, one of two things has happened: either your Amazon cart will get really full, or you'll end up buying new towels from their site like instantly. But anyhow, go check them out, the Rag Company. The point I was getting to was we at SEMA, we sat down. They wanted me on their podcast, which is like, I don't know why, but hey, listen, happy to oblige, right? So we sat down with them for a little bit, and we had a good conversation. We did talk about wheel cleaning. So a lot of the stuff I'm going to kind of mention here is a little bit already interwoven into their podcast. So if you want to check that out, that's on their channel. But really here, and they get a little bit more into wheel care, and we're going to hopefully – be able to link up with them and do a piece of content that they're really going to help us out with wheel care. And the reason is going back to what I said originally. I said that right now on our website, if you go to the frequently asked questions section, our thing is clean it with water and a non-acidic, safe, you know, car wash soap.
Right. Is that their method? Or do they have a whole bunch of others?
Because
they
they're super talented. But yeah. The reason we put that up there as a disclaimer is there's too many detailing products and there's too many
that'll harm your wheels
that we just can't attest for. We don't sell wheel care products at this stage.
Do not use dish soap.
That's true. Don't use dish soap.
Do not use dish soap.
But there's, you know, there's a lot of things out there on the market. There's wheel coatings that you can help you with, you know, to make sure that you extend the life of your wheel.
Right.
There's different wheel cleaners with acid in them, and there's a whole bunch of different products, things like iron removers and et cetera. And so the problem is that we don't test all these products. It'd be impossible for us to endorse one particular product or not. Now come to the other factor that really, if you were in an ideal situation, if you were able to clean your wheels extremely frequently and use, again, a non-acidic car wash soap,
right,
your wheels would last for a long time as far as the finish goes.
But, so what different types of finishes are there for wheels? Like, even just looking back at our wheel behind us, like, I see, like, a matte finish, gloss. I've had a chrome finish. Sure. I've had...
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're pretty accurate. I mean, so there's a, you know, we can get really segmented into this, right?
Like, machined,
you can
go finish?
Right. So I mean, you can go, there's machined wheels, there's painted wheels, there's chrome wheels. You're going to have sometimes anodized wheels, you'll have powder coated wheels. You can have, you know, copper plated wheels, nickel plated wheels. I mean, you could really dive in and really break these things down in a lot of specific detail. But for today's intended conversation, let's stick with two categories. One, we don't make chrome wheels, so let's just wipe that right off.
Cool.
All the plated wheels and the one-off stuff and the custom stuff, we don't do any of that stuff, so let's wipe that again right off. So from 99% of aftermarket companies that produce wheels that are ready-made, not custom one-off wheels, you're going to have two main categories. You're going to have your painted wheels and you're going to have your machined wheels.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So now machine wheels, they're just machined and that's it. There's no coating or anything that goes on top of them.
No,
like
there is
a clear coat.
There is a coating. Yeah. So let's talk about Koenig specific product right now real quick. I know that we try to bring you information that applies to any wheel product, but for
example's sake.
Right. Most of Koenig wheels, we start with a powder coated primer. Okay, that seals the wheel, that protects the wheel. It also allows the paint a good finish to bite into.
Right.
It's so funny because, like, this is very similar to the conversation I had with the red coat. It's like almost, you know. So first we start with the powder coated primer. Then we move on to the actual finish of the wheel. Depending on if it's, like, let's say a metallic finish or just a regular, you know, stuff. Basic color.
Right.
There may be multiple finish, multiple colors, or multiple base coats that go down, and then comes in the protectant coat, which is the clear coat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether it's a painted wheel or it's a machine wheel, we put a clear coat on it. Okay. So all the wheels that we make are clear coat protected.
So, question, and
yes,
using some of these wheels as an example in the background.
Sure, sure.
So, does the barrel of the wheel get the same amount of treatment as, like, the face of the wheel?
That's
so,
an
like,
interesting
it,
question,
does it
yeah.
get, does it get like the same amount of clear coat? The same, because I feel like some of the wheels I look at, like, it'll have more of like a glossy finish in the front,
yep,
as opposed to like,
yep,
on the inside will be more of like a satin or like.
Right.
It looks like it wasn't coated as much.
Understood.
On the interior and exterior of the barrel.
Right. So the answer to this is it depends on the wheel and the finish. And at the end of the day, every wheel style or design has a little bit of a different take on how it's finished. And what that means is when you really start to dive down into it, you know, these wheels are painted roughly on – they're painted on a line. Means that they're not
right.
necessarily hand-painted, right? They're painted by machine. So,
yeah.
So every style has a program in it that allows it to kind of dictate of how that particular style would be painted. And the idea is, depending on the design, you know, there's a lot of depth change. There's a lot of spoke design. There's different coverage areas and stuff like that.
Right.
So they have to find the optimal kind of spray pattern to be able to make sure that – when that wheel, that particular style is sprayed, that it has ample paint coverage, ample clear coat coverage, and the wheel is fully protected.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the front and the back of a wheel, there's a couple things. We try not to spray the mounting pad on the back of the wheel, okay? It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you don't really want to put anything on there that could change, that could stop the ability of the wheel to be able to sit perfectly flat against the hub.
Right.
So you usually see that will be a very raw finish there. You know, and remember that the powder coat primer that we've already put on is the sealant of the wheel. It's already been sealed. So do you have to put that on the back?
What I was about to say,
yep,
or ask, so is that put on the back and then it's machined out? Or
what do you mean? The whole wheel is powder coat primered, and the back pad is machined.
Afterwards. Okay, right, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, because that's what allows it to get to that perfectly flat surface and to make sure that it arrives at the offset that we've selected for the wheel.
Right.
Right?
Gotcha.
So, you'll see, depending on what wheel it is, that you're not going to necessarily – it may not be 100% the same finish throughout the whole wheel. Like, mm-hmm. In other words, in the back area on a very dark wheel, it may be black, or it may be gray or whatever it may be, but very close to the color on the face.
Right.
And you might see that the wheel is blown in, but again, that's on top of the sealed powder coat primer already.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And so there's a few reasons for that, but a lot of reasons has to do with, again, making sure that the finish on the front of the wheel is exactly how it's supposed to be, because that's the part you're going to see. And if you – sometimes like when you blow in the front and then you blow the back in, well, if you went too heavy on the front, you start to get like – overspray onto the front or the side of the spokes, and it doesn't give a uniform appearance. So there's a lot of into that, but depending on what wheel you get, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not as much, and you'll see that you may see more of that exposed powder coat primer. Maybe it's black on the inner barrel, whatever it may be.
Right, and like the tiny like little crevice areas or up in the wheel. I feel like I've seen that in some wheel designs where in like a colored wheel. You could almost kind of see like the white or whatever color underneath, and like the just been looking at some cheap wheels.
I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes you'll see if you look in the, like, we're pointing to the back if you're on iTunes here, but we're pointing to a wheel. But like, see how like, you know, like this on the, is this, it would say flow formed like there.
Yes.
Like if we did a two-tone finish there, sometimes what you would do is you would see that the actual lettering deep down inside the wheel may have a different color. But right. That's usually because, you know, you spray it with one color and then you do a face a different color or something like that. So so we just leave the lettering the original color. But that's
interesting.
But that's one thing. Anyhow, so let's get back to the whole finish thing. Wheels are broken down into roughly two categories, machined
and painted
for us. And so, again, we just told you how they're finished. We told you that it's a clear coat applied to every single wheel, whether it's painted or it's machined. So basically what we're talking about here is there an advantage, depending on where you live, based off the environment and how harsh of the environment may be where you're located? And the answer is yes. If you live in the Northeast, if you live in a harsh winter area, if you live in an area where it's going to be maybe a lot of road debris or anything like that, you'll probably be safer if you choose a full painted wheel
as opposed
to a machine.
I was about to say, I feel like painted would be more beneficial.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like, again, kind of going back to what I think, machine might be a little bit more or less durable under certain conditions, and also harder to clean with all the dirt and stuff that comes with it.
I mean, there's no doubt that the machine wheel will, one, it will start to show imperfections or chips or from sand and rocks and road debris quicker. But there's another reason, and that reason has a lot to do, and we get this question a lot. I answered this again on the Rag Company podcast, but if the clear coat is the same on the painted wheel versus the machine wheel, then why does it matter? Right? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, why would a painted wheel be more, if it's the same clear coat protecting it?
Could it be due to how the clear coat cures and sticks to the what's underneath it?
You know, I mean,
I do know that when you're painting something, what you have under it definitely adds. Like if you were to respray a car without priming it first, it wouldn't stick as well as if like you did prime it prior. So if you're doing a machine wheel, there's not as much primer or like other stuff for it to really, you know?
Yeah, no, I do understand. So, I mean, in absolute theory, I guess that would apply very true, and there's probably a lot of truth to that. For this situation, for the most part, that the clear that's put on and the way that they put it onto a machine wheel, it's done so that there's an equal playing field. Like, it's done so that they know it will adhere and bite in and the whole thing. So let's say for today's intended purposes that the playing field from the painted wheel to
is even.
Is somewhat even, right? A lot of the reason that the machine wheel may not last as long or stand up in some of the harsh environments as well, you know, it has a lot to do with the fact that whenever you lay, like when you machine a wheel, if you've ever looked at a machine wheel, especially if they machine the face of a wheel,
mm-hmm.
machine the face of the wheel and the sides of the spokes, they get really sharp. They start to get much more, you know, 90 degree, more exact, right? Whereas a painted wheel, you can almost see that there's a little bit more roundness to it.
It's more round, yeah.
And so what ends up happening is no matter how you spray or what angle you were to spray
that's a sharp the clear edge coat right out,
right, that corner, the very, very corner, the thin corner of the spoke, it's not going to hold
as
much.
It's not going to get as much paint.
Right. Well, you'd have to layer the whole wheel up, and still that would be the thinnest spot. So what ends up happening is, you know, you're driving on your roads.
You can catch chips on those corners.
Oh, yeah. Like you're driving on those roads in different areas, and the first thing you have is in those rough areas is a lot of sand and a lot of salt and a lot of different things. And so, yes, the chemicals play a part in this whole thing, but as they start to wear down that clear coat against that corner, that sharp corner, what ends up happening is that's going to be the first spot that permeates and allows something to start to affect and get in under the clear coat.
Right. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's the deal, right? Like, that's why, you know, if you live in a really rough area or you have a, you know, you drive on, let's say, a lot of highways that have, you know, let's say you're in North Dakota or you're in one of these places where their roads tend to have, let's say, more sand and debris, and especially during winter months, you know, you may want to choose that painted wheel, and that's a good tip out there for people that are thinking about what finish to pick or put on the car.
I never really would have even thought of that.
Yeah. So that's the basic in that stuff. I mean, there's a lot more to the whole wheel care thing. I really want it to come from the rag company or somebody equivalent, because I think that they know products way better than we do.
Right.
And I mean, we acknowledge that there's plenty of coating products and different products out there that are probably perfect and great and would work really well for you, but we can't officially tell you that you can use any of them because some of them are corrosive, right? And, you know, in the wheel care thing, in the winter wheels thing, we can actually talk about – maybe we'll do it next weekend next week. We'll actually talk about, you know, kind of, you know, the things that turn acidic and maybe storing your wheels or something to that effect. But, you know, so think about where you're located, where you're rolling, and how often you get to clean your wheels. And, you know, if you want, you know, kind of that tip, the short to the point tip, like clean your wheels often, get brake dust off, get corrosive materials off, get debris off, never wash your wheels.
Oh my gosh. I feel like these people really need to go watch that Rag Company podcast.
Yeah, the Rag Company podcast is good.
I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, holy shit. Like there was so much information on just wheel cleaning in general. And I feel like, I mean, if you're a car person, you probably already know, like, not to use, like, any, like, sharp brushes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That'll scratch it up. But, like, they were going so in-depth about cleaning the back of the wheel and, like...
Well, and they did coating. And this was just... That was just a friendly podcast. So if we can really get some good content knocked out for them, that would be pretty amazing. But, yeah, so that's kind of the nuts and bolts of kind of what you need to think about. You know, if you're in a rough area, you know, think about the finish that you're putting on your wheel. And listen, here's the thing too, is that this applies for all companies. So, you know, when you start to think about having wheels that are, you know, really crazy or, you know, this machined or that machine or this color on here and this color, I mean, like, think about, you know, what your use is. And if you are, you know, and that's why, just to kind of really circle around to this, people change their wheels when they do enter the winter season, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they have those nice wheels, they'll take them off. They'll either have another set to put on, they'll put their stocks on.
I never get rid of stock wheels. So many people I know will get wheels for their car and then post the stock wheels up for, like, stupid cheap. I'm just like, why would you do that? I'm like, first of all, stock wheels, depending on the car you have, like, they don't really go for that much. Like, unless you have, like...
Like a brand new car.
Yeah, unless you have, like, a brand new car. Like, I know those new Accord wheels and, like, the Civic Si wheels, those will go for a lot of money because people will put them on, like, older CRVs.
Yeah, and a lot of the Nissan stuff.
A lot of the Nissan stuff, too. But, like, my Daisies, for example, on the Miata. Like, I'm not going to get anything for those. I'd be lucky to get $100 with brand new tires for those. It's like, it's not worth it. Like, just slap those back on the car in the wintertime.
Yeah. Unless you have those BBS ones.
Well, that's a completely different story. Yeah.
They still go for some good money.
That's true.
But yeah, no, you're you know, that's why you'll see people swapping wheels and different things.
So keep your stock wheels.
I don't know if that's a takeaway, but it's definitely a valid point if you live in an area where there's a lot of harsh environment and stuff like that. So I mean, that's the basic tip. You know, how do you pick a finish for your wheel? Make sure that you consider the environment you're driving in and kind of what your use is and when you plan to use them, and you know, make sure you clean them as frequently as possible, because that will also prolong any wheel.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's
it. Oh,
you want to do some questions?
Yeah, I was about to say, because we have questions.
We actually asked a question in the
time.
Did you see any of them beforehand or not really?
What happened?
Did you look at any of these questions beforehand or not really?
I looked. There was one really stupid question that I'm not going to say who sent it.
That's fair.
All right, let's see. So the first question I have is, will there be a Black Friday sale for 2019?
Yeah.
Now, can I kind of tackle this one?
If you got it.
I think I have it. So we actually don't sell wheels directly.
We don't.
We have
retailers.
We have retailers. So our retailers might.
Yep.
But you would have to go and check that out.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If there are any sales going on for Black Friday, and we see them, stay tuned to our story around the Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving or Black Friday, and we will make sure that we repost those or anything like that. So cool. Stay tuned to our story, and we'll try to get you those Black Friday deals.
Cool. This is a pretty valid one. I feel like it kind of relates to what we were just talking about. So what are some things to look for when checking a wheel's build quality, i.e. cheap eBay wheels? I did the quotes because he did quotes.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's probably more in depth than answering this question. So I'll just do some like tips.
Okay.
So I think that when it comes down to any wheel quality, whether it be a manufacturer that you know, that you're not really known for, right, or know of, I think one of the really good tips is, if you can't, the first thing is try to find out some information on where those wheels are coming from. And
right.
If you can't, that's a decision that you have to make yourself, right? Like, there's so many things that go into a quality wheel, and it's not just the build process. It's the company that's bringing them in, making sure that they're built to the correct load rating, making sure that they're correctly drilled. I mean, years ago there was an issue where some of the dual drill wheels, which are wheels that have two different lug patterns,
right,
they were drilled too close together, and you're watching
some of these cars watching them crack.
Shear, basically, you know, upon different torque, whatever, shear through those lug areas. So
right.
There's wheel companies. Do your homework. If try to make sure that you know which company, and this way you can research them and make sure their track history is there.
Right. Especially with eBay wheels,
yeah,
or getting any type of cheap wheel, just try and figure out just also even who the seller is. Well, not who the seller is, but who's manufacturing them. Or check reviews on the person that's selling them, or email the seller and try and get some more information on them.
And if you can't figure out what brand they are, or where they were manufactured, and again, in the country of origin for where they're manufactured is not necessarily a telltale sign of.
Right, because some wheels are manufactured. Well, wheels are manufactured everywhere. They're manufactured here in the States, internationally, outsourced.
So I would say, you know, make sure that you know, do your research, make sure that they're coming from a reputable manufacturer, make sure that they are the proper load rating for your car, that they're correctly, you know, drilled for your car. You're getting the right bolt pattern. Make sure, you know, that if you need hub-centric rings, you're getting those as well. Make sure that, you know, you do the research the best you can on those wheels. And if you can't, I would say if you cannot do enough research to really find out where they're coming from, I would tend to say maybe you're in your best interest in passing. If you could find out all the other information and you still feel that you know, that's the way you want to go, I mean, no one's going to knock you for it. But, you know, keep in mind, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, there's a lot of companies that build price affordable wheels. Like, we build a lot of our, especially our regular, you know, traditional cast stuff. It's pretty affordable.
Right.
So you know, if you're talking about a difference of $100 a set, which is $25 a wheel, which is a lot for some of the smaller wheels, like, if $100, is that going to be a big enough savings for you to worry about, like, to have to think about?
Is this a quality built wheel?
But I would say, you know, if you find the manufacturer, see if you can find the manufacturer, make sure they're good, make sure they have some history, make sure they're properly load rated for your car, make sure you get the right hardware, make sure they're, you know, stuff like that. And I think if you do, for the most part, you should be okay.
Right. Okay, so the next one is opinion on stretch tires. What's your opinion on stretch tires, Scott?
I think we all know where we're going here.
I already know what your opinion is. Yeah, but probably don't.
My opinion is I'm a functionalist, right?
Scott's a super functionalist.
I really am, and I will never knock anybody for doing something that whatever. But there, this is actually a much more black and white topic than we get credit for.
Yeah.
There are approved so each tire from a manufacturer has an approved rim width, and your car comes with a tire, and using that tire size gives you the overall rolling diameter, meaning that should never change.
Right.
So when you pick a tire for your car, it should be the same overall rolling diameter. That doesn't mean that if you had 15s, you have to stay with 15s. It means that if you go from 15 to a 17, the overall height of the tire that you're using has to remain the same.
Yeah, so if you're increasing the tire profile on the 17, it should be lower than...
Right, and I don't want to give that general, but basically, like, if you're using a 15-inch tire, well, when you go bigger on the wheel, when you go to a 17-inch wheel, the tire gets shorter... Right, but it still stays the same size, the same height.
Right.
Right? And so if you pick a tire for your car that has the correct size height, and you pick a tire that has the correct rim width for the wheel that you're putting onto the tire, for the most part, you're good. But, I mean, that's very basic, so always consult with a wheel and tire professional locally.
Right.
But when you start to stretch the tire, you know, let's say you take a 195 and you put it on a, you know, 9-inch wide wheel or an 8-inch wide wheel, there's risks that come with that, and it's very dangerous. And I know a lot of people
195 on 8? I feel like that's not too severe of a stretch.
It depends on the overall. I'm giving you an example. It depends on the overall height, right?
I'm just over here like like coughing like a...
I know. But, you know, look, the truth is when you overstretch a tire – you could enter into an area where it could introduce a catastrophic blowout.
Right. Okay. It could debide a lot easier.
You have less cushion for your wheels, so you will bend wheels more. On top of that, when you hit something hard enough, you know, you can bend that wheel a lot easier. And all that flex and movement can easily knock the tire off, like you just said, and have it debide. And when the tire debides, you now, depending on where that is, may lose control of the vehicle, especially depending on which speed or which position you're rotating the car in.
I got terrified one time because I was driving home from Maryland, mm-hmm. and I had super stressed tires. The wheel was like 8-inch wide. It was like 185, 175, something like
right,
that,
right.
Which is ridiculous. But the lip of the rim was sticking out a lot. Don't get me wrong. It looked great. Function-wise, probably not the most ideal. But I hit the one pothole on that long, what is that, the turnpike? I hit the one pothole on the turnpike coming home, and I bent the rim in like so bad. I had a flat spot, and I was like, I was so scared that it was gonna either debide or lose air or whatever. Like that whole ride home, I was just like, is it good?
Yeah.
Looking out the window, like,
yeah.
Very sketchy.
Yeah, I mean, look, my opinion on stretch tires is if you can, don't do it. That's my opinion. My opinion. And I'm not saying people don't do it.
That is what they ask for, our opinion.
My opinion is, you know, please don't stretch your tire. I mean, you know, make sure you have the right size tire. Understand, like, there's different people that, you know, for the look of things maybe. But just keep in mind that, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's one thing to have look and different things, but, you know, safety is, you know, you're driving on it, man. So.
Okay. Will you release the Freeform in black?
I don't think so. We don't have any plans for that right now.
But we have the two finishes for it right now. We have the
radiant bronze and the matte silver.
Right.
We don't have any plans to do it in matte black. But the good news is the new Hexaform looks like it will be in matte black. So I know it's far from the same wheel, but it's a six spoke. It looks pretty good. So check that out.
Nice. Let's see. There's this stupid question at the end that somebody asked. I'm not going to put up there.
What is it?
This one. we're not going to ask that one.
Okay.
What's the best car to buy in 2019? So I feel like this is completely opinion based.
I mean, definitely is. Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. What I guess let's change the question. What new car would you buy in 2019?
Wait, is money not an option? Like, it doesn't matter. We don't have to actually have the money to buy this.
Should we stick to how much we make?
No, it's not
what we can afford.
Not a supercar.
Practical car.
Practical
slight project, maybe.
Let's stay in the $60,000 and under range. Is that fair or is that too much?
That's pretty fair.
Like, I'm just, I feel like $60,000 for, depending on how much you make, that's an obtainable price of a car, maybe.
Yeah, okay, sure.
All right. Well, why don't you go first?
I have to think about this one. My first thing was going to be like, yeah, get the new Miata. I was like, yeah.
Does it have to be a 2019 model?
I don't know. What new car would you get into? I guess maybe 2020. Or it says, what's the best car to buy in 2019? They already dropped 2020 cars. So,
I mean, it's hard because I would say that, you know, if you have the money, that C8 Vet looks really good.
I was actually about to ask, how much is the
Corvette? And here's the thing. I'm not a super domestic guy. So don't peg me for the guy that's like a little older.
Scott drives a twin turbo 350Z.
Yeah, like, I mean, all my Japanese cars are, yeah, I'm super import, right? But that C8 Corvette is amazing. I mean,
bang
for buck. It's nice. I mean, it's a supercar for like $60,000. I mean, I know that they say like, you know, but the thing was supposed to start at around 50, but like the cars that are coming into the dealership base are still in the low 60s.
We just got an interruption from Scott got a phone call, but so I actually just checked the MSRP. I would get, and I hope nobody rips my head off for this.
Yeah.
Tesla Model 3.
I don't think that's a bad one. I mean, I don't think that's a bad one.
Because I feel like in that price range, it's a lot of power in that car.
I think it's a great car. Which I don't even know if you can.
You can. Absolutely, you can lease it.
The thing that scares me with the Model 3 is not now. It's later. You know, they've had a lot of issues with being able to service them and what the wait time is on servicing and stuff like that. So I don't know. If you're a Tesla person, go ahead and comment below. Let us know. Have you enjoyed the car? Is it old enough? Have you experienced any service issues? Is it cool? Shout that out. I'm interested to hear your opinion.
And then we could slap some Koenig wheels on it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of Tesla Model 3s rolling around.
We do. I think more on the West Coast we have.
We do.
Yeah, we have some cars over there.
I think there was bigger benefits to having an EV on the West Coast now. So, so I think Model 3 is a good one. I mean, listen, I think we were talking about doing that whole used car piece of content about what some of the best used cars to get.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
So maybe we'll go into a little bit older cars later. But anyhow, so let's get to the next. Unless I was
That was pretty much the last question.
I'm surprised. It's usually like 50,000 sponsorship questions, and then
there's actually not one sponsorship question in here.
God,
hold on.
Improving.
Let me refresh it. Well, maybe it's because we do so much sponsorship content that they're just
I'm good with that. We're giving you the keys, right? So,
So I refreshed it. We have a few more questions. When will that new gorgeous wheel be available? So I'm not sure if they are talking about the
Countergram
or the Hexaform. But when will both of those wheels be available?
Hopefully, hopefully you'll start seeing them pour in end of February, beginning of March.
Nice. I'm excited. Can't wait to get a set.
Me too. Can't wait for that to be out and done with already.
I want the Countergrams.
Yeah,
it's gonna be nice.
It's interesting.
Those will look interesting. That's probably like the last thing I'm gonna do to that car is put wheels on it. One of the last things I'm gonna do. I have like a whole list of crap.
Cool.
Anyways, how much does your lightest wheel weigh?
What size? We've done this. We've had this question before.
It depends.
What size? What offset? What width? Right.
Yeah.
So that's a tough question. I would say in the smaller stuff, I think the dial-in is the lightest 15.7 we have. It comes in, I think, just under 10 pounds. If not, it's like just 10.1, but it's really close. And then when it gets into, you know, some of the other sizes, like in the mid-range, some of the hypergrams are lighter, but then you'll find that there's another wheel that, like a decagram in certain sizes, it takes over. So it really depends on the size.
Yeah. All right. So last question I have here before we let go is, do you make or are you planning to make carbon fiber wheels?
No. No.
Yeah, because he spelled it carbon fibre.
Ooh. Yeah.
Carbon fibre. That's what we call fake carbon fiber, but I think he means real carbon fiber.
Yeah, so do I. So, no, I mean, and the reason is because, one, that's a super...
pricey.
Pricey is not even the word for it, but yeah. pricey. Also, it's a very specific manufacturing process to be able to do that. It's not what we do, and it wouldn't be the price range that we're trying to make our line available for. So... I don't know. I mean, the question is, you know, will one day we offer, a Koenig forge line? I don't know. To be determined, right?
Possible.
So, anyhow.
I guess that's it.
All right. So, I guess that's it. We always forget to do this in the beginning, but if you're still with us, you wouldn't mind, go ahead and like
you
and
know,
subscribe. We're just going to do an
How many podcasts
have we said that at the end?
Did we do at SEMA?
Didn't even say about it. We're going to make an intro, a separate intro, to insert.
No, we're not.
We are. Nick doesn't know it, but we're going to do it. So we're just separate. All right. We can talk about this later. Anyhow, listen. If you're still here, please give us a thumbs up, like, subscribe, that whole thing. And if you wouldn't mind, share this thing. You know, maybe not this one. Maybe go find another one that you like better if this one wasn't for you and share one of those. But, you know, we're trying to put out as much content as we can that is related to – wheel knowledge in general, and we hope that it provides some value to you. That's all we're trying to do. You rarely hear us say, go ahead and buy this wheel or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we love when you do, so that's cool.
I'd love to hear about you guys, too, like the community. Yeah. Let us know what kind of wheel finish you have on the bottom. Just write it down below.
Wheel finish, what kind of car you drive. Throw it all down.
Everything. If you would buy a Tesla, if you own a Tesla.
Yeah. Anything you want to say positive, put it down below. Yeah?
Only positive.
Only yes. Positive. Anyhow, all right. So that's it. We are out of here. We'll catch you next Wednesday. Until then, peace.